Facebook.com/radio.
Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Today we're going to focus on the environment and climate change and possible solutions. We'll hear about a new regional coalition focusing on climate change resiliency. And Congressmember Charlie Crist will talk about a new bill he's co-sponsoring that would tax polluters that create greenhouse gases and return cash dividends to all Americans. I'd like to hear what you think about these topics. The number is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. This is going to be a listener-heavy show today. We have some interviews, but I also want to hear from you. Again, 813-239-9663. First, we're going to start with some comments that were left by two listeners after our last show. It was during the heat of the recounts after the general election. Our guest was Craig Latimer, Supervisor of Elections in Hillsborough County. Here's what two listeners had to say after that show.
Stephen here in St. Pete, I was just listening to the show. If you look at the country demographically, about 83% of the country is progressive. About 17 to maybe 19, sometimes as high as 21% is conservative. Demographically speaking, it is impossible for a Republican to ever win an election. The way they win the elections is by people not voting, of course. Democrats getting to the polls, progressive people getting to the polls. And they win an election by deceiving about maybe 25% of folks and then getting a few independents to win an election. In the state of Florida, I thought it was impossible for Andrew Gillum to lose this election. And God only knows what happened and why he lost. And if you look at the history of the country was started by rich guys that don't want to pay taxes, and it's still ruled by rich guys that don't want to pay taxes. The country has always been ruled by the minority. And that's how, if you look at the George W. Bush election and you look at the election of Donald Trump, both of them won with less votes.
Mike Cullen Fulnair, listening to Sean Shaw's answer or no answer to my question on welfare reform 2 weeks ago, makes me glad I voted for the non-party candidate.
Well, those were two listeners commenting about our last show later on in the broadcast. I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail that I'll play next week. You can also listen to our previous shows and comment on the stories on our website, WMNF.org, or you can join us at Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. And again, the numbers to call in to join this show today, live, 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Hey, if you send us a text, please give me your name and town where you're from so that I have some identification there. On the text, we only get the telephone number, and I don't want to read your telephone number on the air. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. So today is the first day of a major UN climate summit in Poland. Later in the show, we'll talk about what's happening there at the climate summit. The climate catastrophe, which is caused by heat becoming trapped near the Earth's surface because of increasing concentrations of gases like carbon dioxide from burning fossil fuels, and human-caused climate change is wreaking havoc all over the globe, including here in Florida. In October, the West Central Florida region finally formed what's known as the Tampa Bay Regional Resiliency Coalition. Several governments are working together for solutions to problems that are caused by climate change. And it's similar to what we've seen in South Florida for nearly a decade. So I'm going to play this short interview I have, and we'll discuss it afterwards. So give us a call right now, 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. Not long ago, I asked the Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council Chair Janet Long about the Resiliency Coalition. That's the Tampa Bay Regional Resiliency Coalition, newly formed. Long is a Pinellas County Commissioner.
It's called the Tampa Bay Regional Resiliency Coalition, and it is made up of five of the six counties that represent the west coast of Florida. It came about as the result of the lessons that we learned from Hurricane Irma and how we all suffered the same issues after the storm in terms of trying to make everyone whole, clean up the area, take advantage of the resources that we all had. So we decided to move forward and create this coalition that would come together and agree that we would work together to mitigate and ensure public safety and welfare, health and welfare, in the event of a catastrophic event. And that's what we're doing. So as you know from our signing that we had on October 8th, we had 25 regional governments that signed on to this compact, and that is quite an accomplishment in the world we live in today when it's so difficult on so many fronts for people to work together.
What are some of the things that might happen as far as protecting people from sea level rise, trying to manage carbon emissions? What are some things you could do?
Well, as you know, we have a great example right here in our backyard with the launch of our brand new first time ever electric bus that PSTA now has roaming around on our streets in Pinellas County, which will do a lot to reduce carbon emissions. Our goal is to have 6 of them over this next year, and hopefully in the future even more. So that's one example. Another example is many of our governments are struggling with the issues of the rising sea and the fact that we have several bridges that need to be totally rebuilt, and we're having a difficult time deciding on the elevation of those bridges because the higher you go, the more it costs, and we know that we have to build for 50 to 75 years, not just for tomorrow. This is about the future for our grandkids and the health and safety of our air, the quality of our air, the quality of our water, these awful red tides that we've been having. All of that is impacted by the rising sea and the way in which our climate is changing. Storms are getting stronger. When it rains, it's a heavier, longer rain than before. And it isn't lost on anyone that the west coast of Florida is very vulnerable.
Well, that's Pinellas County Commissioner Janet Long speaking about the new Tampa Bay Regional Resiliency Coalition. And I want to know what you think about this coalition, what you would hope that it would accomplish, what suggestions you have for it that we can talk about, or, you know, what you think about it in general. The number is 813-239-9663. You can email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. The Regional Resiliency Coalition was signed in October, and several governments are working together for solutions to problems caused by climate change, similar to what we've seen in South Florida for a while. So they've had this kind of thing in South Florida. They're looking at how to deal with sea level rise down there and other problems associated with resiliency when it comes to climate change. 813-239-9663. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 12:14 in the afternoon, and we'd like to talk to you about what you think about this issue of climate change. We'll talk more later about the UN Climate Summit in Poland, what's already happened today, and we will hear from Charlie Crist later on in the show. Member of Congress Charlie Crist talking about a bill that he's co-sponsoring for a carbon fee and dividend program. 813-239-9663. Well, let me talk about a little bit about what is happening in Poland right now. A Swedish teenager who takes time out of school each week to highlight the danger of global warming says world leaders who are skipping the UN Climate Summit are very irresponsible. 15-year-old Greta Thunberg traveled to Poland for the start of the two-week talks and delivered a speech today to some of the decision makers at the conference. Speaking afterward to the Associated Press, Thunberg said the absence of leaders like U.S. President Donald Trump and German Chancellor Angela Merkel shows what they prioritize. Thunberg protests outside the Swedish parliament each Friday. She said of politicians who were not in attendance, "In the future, we will look back and we will either laugh at them or we will hate them." Her activism has inspired other students from as far away as Australia. So that's what the AP is writing about one of the people who spoke so far today at the UN Climate Summit in Poland. What do you think about the U.S. involvement there? We have scientists and cities and counties and states there representing the United States, but the official U.S. position, at least for on the federal government level, is that the U.S. is distancing itself from the Paris Climate Accords. What do you think about that decision by the Trump administration? And what are your opinions about the Poland climate talks? Also today, famed naturalist Sir David Attenborough says human civilization may collapse unless the world takes action to curb climate change. The British TV presenter of nature documentaries told leaders gathered for the UN climate summit today that right now, we are facing a man-made disaster of global scale, our greatest threat in thousands of years. Attenborough urged the delegates meeting in Poland to make progress on efforts to implement the 2015 Paris Accord fighting climate change. The 92-year-old added that if we don't take action, the collapse of our civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world is on the horizon. So that's Sir David Attenborough talking today in Poland at the climate talks. 813-239-9663. What are your thoughts? What do you hope that will be accomplished in Poland? And what do you think what do you think about how to deal with climate change? What are your solutions, especially locally here? What can we do? 813-239-9663. Well, let's turn now to the interview I did with Charlie Crist. Scientists say that the only way to avoid the worst effects of future catastrophic climate change is to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases being dumped into the atmosphere. The United States spews more carbon into the air than per capita than any other country, so reducing emissions in the U.S. would go a long way toward making sure the worst projections are avoided. One proposal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions is to tax carbon, because that would mean increased prices for consumers. A bipartisan group of Congress members has filed a bill that would place a fee on carbon emissions, but then refund money to all Americans. It's co-sponsored by St. Petersburg area Congressmember Charlie Crist. He wasn't available for a live interview today, so here's a recording of our interview. So this is Congressmember Charlie Crist speaking with me about his idea for a carbon fee and dividend.
Well, the problem is climate change, you may have heard, and it's incredible how recently the administration just came out with a report on climate change and its devastating impact on our environment. And of course, unfortunately, we as Floridians see the impacts of it frequently. Probably most recently with St. Michael. You know, started out in the southern Gulf of Mexico as a tropical storm, not expected to develop into very much. And then as it kept moving forward into the Gulf, it got stronger and stronger, and you know, almost moved landfall as a Category 5 hurricane by the time it got to the panhandle. And so we have seen the effects of climate change, rising sea levels. In fact, as Floridians, we live in the state that is the most susceptible to rising sea levels. And you can see it right in Tampa Bay. I mean, I grew up there in St. Petersburg. And when I go over to visit my parents in Northeast St. Pete and drive along the shoreline, and I can see the difference in the level of the water and the, you know, the king tides that we get now. It's pretty dramatic. So the idea of the bill, Sean, is to have those who are contributing to the carbon dioxide in our air and the use of other carbon products to be directed to pay a fee, $15, and they would have to do that. And it would accelerate $10 a year. And the neat part is that the money that is accumulated goes directly back to the taxpayer. So you're trying to encourage good behavior with a penalty, an appropriate fee, on those who are producing carbon and benefiting those who are not doing so, the citizens of our nation. And the other thing that's great about it, Sean, it's a bipartisan bill. There now are three Republicans and three Democrats that are co-sponsoring the bill. I think that's fortuitous. You know, after January 3rd, we will have truly a bipartisan Congress with a Democratic House and a Republican Senate. So I think it's only appropriate to address this issue in a way that is bipartisan. It's not, you know, a partisan issue at all. It's an issue about all our future. And I think that's why we have that kind of broad bipartisan support. And I am hopeful that in the new Congress, we can get even more co-sponsors and have success with getting the legislation adopted.
Our guest is Congressmember Charlie Crist. He's talking about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. And I want to talk a little bit more about the specifics. You were mentioning this is often called a carbon tax or a carbon fee and dividend. So let's look at the fee and let's look at the dividend. Who pays the fee specifically? You said the people who produce the carbon. So are you talking about oil companies? And then who gets the dividend and how is that rebate given to people?
Sure. Well, yeah, it would be paid by oil companies, among others, and it would start, as I said, at $15 per metric ton of carbon dioxide and increases $10 each year. So I think that's important because you want to, as I said, discourage bad behavior and what's having this negative impact on our environment and our climate. And you want to encourage and give the dividend, as I said, 100% of net revenues go to the American people. The purpose being to protect consumers and the economy. It maintains revenue neutrality. The rebate offsets the cost increases for most Americans. And how that dividend would work, equal share to adults with their Social Security number, half share to minors, two per household, administered by the Treasury Department with administration costs not to exceed 2% and a one-month advance payment. So trying to keep it simple, keep it straightforward, make it easy to support, then I think it's going to be very popular and helpful to Florida and America and the world.
I want to talk more about how it's important to Florida. You mentioned sea level rise, you mentioned the hurricanes, but Florida also is expected to have a large number of hotter days and hotter nights because of climate change, and also coral reefs are going to be drastically affected as they are being now. What can you say about why it's important for Florida?
Well, for all the reasons you just said, I mean, you know, you're right. You couldn't be more right. Obviously, you know, we experience hurricanes almost on an annual basis in the Sunshine State. Our coral reefs are in jeopardy as well. The continuing heating of the water makes those hurricanes that much more powerful, i.e. Hurricane Michael that we just experienced recently in our state. So all of these things are being impacted. The rising sea level that we talked about as well. You know, I know folks in Miami are very familiar with the problem of having flooding when it's not even raining, and that is a result of rising sea level. We're starting to see it around the Tampa Bay area and other parts, and that will only continue and exacerbate unless we start to do things, as this bill suggests, that would alter behavior and improve our climate and our environment for the future of us all.
And after years of talk, the Tampa Bay area finally has a regional resiliency coalition to deal with the effects of climate change. How can you, as a member of Congress, how can the federal government help this regional coalition?
Well, hopefully by getting this legislation passed. I mean, that's the idea behind it. And there are several Floridians that are involved with this bill, which shouldn't be surprising. In fact, one of my colleagues from Naples, a Republican, former Ambassador Francis Rooney, is one of the co-sponsors on this bill. And I think that's important, as well as Ted Deutch, my fellow Democrat. He's on the East Coast, Southeast Coast of Florida. And I think that, you know, us working together across the aisle is what gives us this greater opportunity for success. And so that can help the resiliency initiative and so many other things.
Will you say?
I'm afraid, Sean, but I have to run.
Okay, well, I appreciate talking with you today. Thanks so much for joining us, Representative Charlie Crist.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Well, that's Congressmember Charlie Crist talking about a new bill that he's co-sponsoring for a carbon fee and dividend to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. What do you think? What's your opinion about this carbon tax and specifically the addition of, you know, we've heard about carbon taxes for years and the potential for carbon taxes, but this specific legislation includes what some environmentalists say is a key component of a carbon tax, and that's in a dividend. So you earn revenue and you provide negative reinforcement or negative incentive for producing carbon with this tax or this fee. But what do you do with all that revenue? Well, in this bill, it would go back to the American people. So what do you think? Here's the number, 813-239-9663. If you'd like to email us, it's dj@wmnf.org. You can also text 813-433-0885. One of our listeners, I believe Tim, wrote in and talked. He said, mention the national town hall tonight with Bernie Sanders. And so I looked it up, and here I'm reading from the Nation website, the Nation magazine. And it's 7 o'clock this evening. There's a town hall event featuring Senator Bernie Sanders, Bill McKibben from 350.org, Shalane Woodley, and new Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and more. And so that's at 7 o'clock tonight. And I'm trying to think where you can watch it. I imagine that 350.org would have information about how you can pay attention to that if you're interested in watching about the National Town Hall about the climate crisis. Sorry, I don't have more information about how you can easily find it, but I bet you can Google it as well as I can. In fact, we have Tim calling in from Sebring, so maybe this is the same Tim. Hi, Tim. Sorry, can you start again? Hi, Tim.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air now.
Hello, can you hear me?
Please go ahead. Yes, I can.
Hello? Test 1, 2, 3. Check 1, 2. Can you hear me? All right. I guess I'll call back.
Sorry about that. I guess we did not have him on the air. We'll put the next person on the air if he calls back. Sorry about that, Tim. Call back. 813-239-9663. We're trying to, I guess he couldn't hear us, but we'll be able to put the next person on the air. Apologies about that. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to join in this conversation, you can also email us at dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. If you want to join the conversation. We're talking right now about, we just spoke with Congressmember Charlie Crist talking about a new bill that he's co-sponsoring for a carbon fee and dividend to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. And so it would tax carbon producers like oil companies and people who drill for oil or burn carbon, maybe power plant emissions. And that fee would be subject to an administrative there would be administrative costs involved, but not much, as you heard Representative Chris say. And then the rest of the money would be refunded to American adults and some money to American children. All right, let's see if we have Tim in Sebring back. Tim, can you hear me this time?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I apologize to all of our listeners for that. I probably screwed something up, but go ahead. Do you happen to be the same Tim that emailed in about the climate
town hall? No, that was a different Tim.
Okay, go ahead. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I just want to call me silly, but let's look at history. What happened in Katrina, all those people drowned and died, left standing in the heat and water. FEMA was supposed to come and help them. There was a bunch of ambulances and fire trucks waiting to help them. They never got the funding to go in and help them, so they just died. I mean, let's call us, what it is. I mean, when disaster strikes, you're on your own unless you're rich and the poor suffer.
Isn't that what FEMA's for, though? I mean, I know what actually happens in real life, but isn't there some sort of solution that we need to, to take care of here?
Hey, I don't know. I don't operate FEMA. I don't know what's going on, but I always hear bad things about them. You know, when the levees broke, there was FEMA trailers that were there, and they were empty. You know, people were starving. They couldn't go across the bridge. They got shot. Whatever, from the poor section to the rich section, they weren't allowed to go across the bridge to get help. So I don't know. I'm just calling it as it is. That's how history is. So when the disaster comes, but you're probably the poor people are going to be on your own, and the rich people can, skate away and get on their own.
Climate justice is a word that people have used to talk about what you're describing, where the people who are marginalized in the world, especially for example in the United States, the people who are in the marginalized communities, for example in New Orleans, who live below sea level in the poorest communities, were the ones that were most affected. So, I think that's an observation that definitely people are making, and maybe we should figure out as a society how to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, it's just the way history is. People are out to make money, and they'll do it off of people's deaths. When the banks crashed, they bet on the banks crashing, and they made money. When the stock market crashed, they made money off that. It's just all about making money. If you think about every business and everything, where's the money going? Follow the money, and you know, kind of makes sense.
Great. Thanks so much for calling in, Tim. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. And the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj at wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Please tell me your name when you text or email, for that matter. And we're talking about climate change. We're talking about the climate conference that's going on in Poland. And we heard an interview that I did with Charlie Crist, Representative Charlie Crist in Congress, talking about a new bill that he's co-sponsoring for a carbon fee and dividend to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. Do you think that that would work? Do you think it would pass? Do you think it has enough bipartisan support to pass? One of the things that that Congressmember Crist was very confident about, or seemed to me confident about, is that because there's bipartisan support, that it might mean that it has a chance of passing Congress. Well, what do you think? Maybe a South Florida Republican might have a different view about needing to solve climate change problems than someone who's in the Midwest or something. What do you think? 813-239-9663. I'd like to take your calls. So call in, please. Let's go now to Diane in Tampa. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I was going to say, we can do our own. I know people say, well, it doesn't make any difference if you do your little thing. But they're closing those car plants, GM is, because everybody wants to drive an SUV or a truck in this country. I've been to a lot of foreign countries where people have much smaller cars than we do because the gasoline is so much higher. And we also stay in bed with the Saudis because they keep our gas prices down. I think we need to look at using renewable energy and giving rebates back for that. I've been to Germany, which the climate obviously is much colder there than here. I don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But they pay for people to install solar, and then the farmers sell the solar back to the city so that they have a way to produce energy and money at the same time. I think we need to start looking around and see how other countries do things to see that we can change our way of looking at things in this country. I don't have any plastic bags in my house. My friends have to bring them to the cat litter because I've made my own grocery bags and I wash them. And yes, it's a little bit more effort, but I don't think we need to sit around and wait for anybody to do a dramatic thing. And we needed to learn in 73 or 74, whenever Carter put the solar panels on the White House. We should have learned then. We could be ahead of the game. And we also give all kinds of subsidies to the oil and gas companies, which I guess we'll never get rid of those because the politicians own them. And I have lived here since 1961, and we used to live here, believe it or not, without air conditioning, which would be impossible to do now. So all I'm saying is that each of us can do. I don't take the plastic silverware when I go to lunch because I'm bringing the food back home. We could all begin to do little things to make things better, too, and then start putting pressure on politicians to quit subsidizing gas and oil businesses.
Diane, thanks for your thoughts. And let me ask you just to boil it down. So if this bill from Charlie Crist and others passes in Congress and it's signed by the president, and there is a fee, would you approve, or would you be happy about paying more for gasoline and then getting a rebate back?
Yes, but I'm also in the luxury of we had a business. I made sure I was within 10 miles of my commuting distance. So I've always tried to save money by being close to where I work. Now, not everybody has that luxury, but I think we need to start. I would be supporting what you're saying. Yes, that sounds like a good idea. But I would rather, instead of seeing it come back to me, have it go into mass transit where I was on a train in Boston, and there were like a lot of people. So I asked somebody, where are you going? And they said, oh, we're going to the baseball the baseball game. And I told my husband, I said, you know, you can't get to the Rays game, and then you have to park, and then it costs this and that. So, and I think that rather than putting it back into people's pockets, which, well, of course, they'll go for that because they think short term, I would rather see it go into new forms of energy and mass transit that we can end our dependency on being in bed with Saudi Arabia.
All right. Thank you for those thoughts. I appreciate that. Thank you, Diane.
I know. It's a wide spectrum of thoughts, but
that's what we're going for. We're going for all the ideas. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Diane. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to call in, if you want to email, it's dj@wmnf.org. I'm going to read a couple of emails in just a second. You can also text us at 813-433-0885. It's 12:35 in the afternoon. You're listening to WMNF Tampa on 88.5 FM. You might also be listening on WMNF.org, or you might be listening on the WMNF smartphone app. You can call in at 813-239-9663. This is Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Our next show is Executive Session, so I hope you stay tuned for that. And let me read a couple of emails here. Elijah writes in, I wonder if the Trump alumpas, I guess I'm pronouncing that correctly, I don't know that term, truly believe that their stable genius's gut feeling is more reliable than the most talented scientific minds across the world who are concerned about climate change. So that's Elijah writing in about President Trump's decision that the report that came from 13, I think it was, federal agencies, that his gut feeling is that they were lying. I guess 13 federal agencies, including the Department of Defense, lied to the president. I don't know, or to Congress. I think that report was prepared for Congress. But that's what Elijah's getting at there. David writes in, hi, Sean. Thanks so much for bringing Charlie Crist on your show today. I love the idea of incorporating dividends into the carbon tax, and I think it would be a great incentive to participate. Also, I think that Tampa and other big cities in the Tampa Bay area need to hire climate resiliency staffers right away, just like Miami did a few years ago. I like that Can You Hear Me guy. Very insightful. Just kidding. Oh, okay. I think David's referring to the first caller who I was having trouble putting on the air. So, all right. Thanks, David. Thanks for that email. That was definitely not the caller's fault. That was definitely a fault on my end here. 813-239-9663. We want to hear what you think about a carbon fee and dividend program. It's the bill being proposed in the United States Congress right now. One of our local Congress members here, maybe if you live in South Pinellas, this is your Congress member, Charlie Crist. He's one of the co-sponsors. All right, well, let's hear from Largo. We're going to go right now to Largo. Am I pronouncing your name correctly? Shalini?
Yeah, Shalini. Very good. I appreciate the effort. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in, Shalini. What would you like to say?
You know, I'm sorry I missed the interview with Charlie Crist, but I just wanted to chime in that I think what Diane said, everything she said was absolutely on point as far as, yes, it would be great to have these dividends come back to people. Maybe that would be an incentive for some people. It would be nice to see some partisan support for this type of bill. Although I will say, when Donald Trump just literally said, I don't believe it, when he was given the climate report as far as how it would affect the economy, and his response was, I don't believe it, I found that to be disgusting because he's not a scientist, obviously. But I think that dividends would be great. I also think that it would be nice to invest in some public transportation. And like Diane said, like have some forward thinking, future planning for our community that would help people and help the future generations kind of figure out how not to be dependent on foreign oil and how to be self-sufficient. When Andrew Gillum was talking about the idea of potentially, really investing in solar power. We are the Sunshine State. It seems really idiotic that we are not leading the nation on solar energy. I mean, there should be solar panels everywhere we go, solar farms everywhere we go. But the lack of it is just pure ignorance, and the ignorance is damaging. And so that's all I got to say about that, and I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, Shalini, thanks for calling, and please call again, and we appreciate your thoughts. Thank you for that. 813-239-9663 is the number to call in, and you can tell people what you think about this carbon fee and dividend program, and what if you like the bill or if you have suggestions. Like a lot of our listeners are offering really some suggestions to that would in their view enhance the idea. So we're going to go back to the phone lines right now, but I do want to remind you that you're listening to Midpoint on 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and you can call in at 813-239-9663. Oh, and also I should say for Shalini and for anyone else who missed the interview with Charlie Crist, in about an hour, this show will be on our website, WMNF.org, and you can go back and listen to that part of the show again if you want to hear the segment with Charlie Crist if you missed it. Well, let's hear from Dave in Sarasota. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I just wanted to give my 2 cents worth. You know, the current solar panels, most of them are constructed in China, so it really doesn't do a lot for America when you're sending all that money to China to bring something in here that's made out of glass and silica and copper and other fragile materials that wouldn't hold up well in a hurricane, which we have a lot of in Florida.
Hang on, do you know that? Because my understanding is that the solar panels that are installed today are extremely hurricane resilient. In fact, I've heard people say that when you install solar on your new roof, your roof is more likely to be destroyed in a major, major, major hurricane than the solar panels are.
Well, that's true. They have to do a lot of roof penetrations. You're talking about a couple hundred additional roof penetrations where you're dependent upon nothing more than a neoprene gasket, which, of course, is going to be tested quite vigorously during a hurricane. But whether, you know, glass is not a strong material. Glass can break quite easily from flying debris. But there's a number of factors there. It takes you a good 20 years to break even. They produce zero power in the middle of the night. The power is generated in the peak of the day, and there's a lot of ups and downs. But you know, the free market is working.
I don't mean to just keep arguing with you, but part of what you're saying is moot, because when you install solar onto your roof, you tie into the grid, and what you're doing is you are generating energy during the day, on a sunny day at least, and then it's feeding into the grid. So you have, and then you are using, at night, you're using that power that's coming from the electrical plant. So I want you to continue, but I just did want to interrupt to specifically point out that. Go ahead.
Well, exactly. You're dependent upon the power company. You can't store electricity. It's produced as it goes, you know, and as you use it. So that power that's generated at noon is not available to you at midnight. It's gone. And power companies aren't in the business of buying power from solar individuals. They're in the business of selling power. So they have no interest in taking your power. They don't want it, but they are forced to pay a small amount for it. But the key is there's other methods that are coming up, and if people would just let the free market take its path. I've been reading where in the future they're going to be able to spray a series of concentric dots on your house. So they're so small you won't even be able to see them, but they will be interconnected like an electrical grid, and it will actually produce electricity. So your entire exterior of your house would produce electricity. And there's going to be great breakthroughs. I mean, you look at the breakthrough that came with LED lighting over incandescents and those kind of things are just free market things that take place, some innovation, and people talk about, we're also talking about mass transit. We poured billions of dollars into mass transit, and it's not efficient anywhere except in high-density areas like Boston, one of your callers mentioned, or New York City. But you get into a place like rural Florida, it's very far distance between Orlando and Tampa and Miami and your other high-density centers, and buses work well in those areas, although we have some trolleys and things like that. But my father used to say, we have the greatest mass transportation system in the world, in America. It's called the automobile.
And a lot of people sit in traffic, like myself, every day and wish that we had alternatives. So thanks for the call, Dave. Thank you for calling from Sarasota. I appreciate all those thoughts. Even though I disagree with some of them, but I'm really glad that you brought them up. And 813-239-9663 is the number to call in. If you'd like to email dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. Wow, so many callers. Let me see who's been on the line. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go right now. I'm going to take the liberty to go to the St. Thomas and the Virgin Islands, because Anita is calling from there. Hi, Anita. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, I just want to address the last caller. Although I do agree with him that innovations, that there are many, many innovations that are probably coming up right now. I recently returned here, which is home, from Tampa Bay, and the last caller was talking about solar panels not being cost-effective. I know friends here, many, many people have solar panels here because our electricity is so much more expensive in there. And his electric bill went from $1,700 a month to $30. That's number one. Number two, while we did have an awful lot of solar power panels destroyed here, most of them did fine. And in two Category 5 hurricanes, the anemometers here on the island broke at 280 miles an hour winds. So that so many of them survived and were able to get part of this island back up and running. So I hear what he's saying up there. It takes a little bit longer to pay them off. But down here, everybody that can possibly afford them, no matter how small or how great, gets them. And our government supports it. Our runways in the airports are lined with solar panels that help run the airport. So respectfully disagree on that particular part.
Why do you think it's not catching on in Florida as much as it sounds like it is there in St. Thomas?
Well, I think we have a different kind of economic situation. I mean, our power company always struggled to keep the lights on before, and it's so much to bring the fuel in from across, 1,200 miles to ship the gas here to make the electricity. So it made a lot more sense for the government to support any way that we could get power to be created. In fact, in places, I think on St. Croix right now, they're at a place where so many private citizens are generating power that they don't buy electricity, or they buy it back at a much lower rate than they do, say, on St. Thomas or St. John, because that's how much power it's generating for the whole island. But there's that, I think, the energy companies up there border on evil sometimes. They've got a very strong lobby and a strong voice in Tallahassee, as well as the federal government, whereas down here, if you don't have a solar panel, sometimes you just don't have light, period.
Yeah, that would be an incentive. All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it. I'm happy to be home, and it's good to stream M&F on live on my computer.
Yeah, so good to hear there's people listening in St. Thomas. Enjoy the water there.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Anita. 813-239-9663 is the number to call. If you'd like to join this conversation, we're talking about specifically, anything about climate change and reducing our carbon footprint, I guess. We specifically talked about Congressmember Charlie Crist's new bill that he's co-sponsoring for a carbon fee and dividend to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. So if you have a thought about that or about the climate talks that are going on in Poland this week, 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM. You can stream us around the world on WMNF.org or on the WMNF smartphone app. And we have, I'm going to get caught up with the emails in just a minute, but right now we have Jim in St. Petersburg who's been holding. So thanks for your patience. Jim, what would you like to say?
Well, everything that can be done that works should be done, because we've come to the point where if the permafrost melts, for example, we're all screwed. But these people who have spent hundreds of millions of dollars over 40 years, whatever, lying, trying to convince the public that everything's okay, now, in the unfortunate end of civilization, they'll be blaming the little guy for doing it. You know what I mean? It just never stops. Sort of like the phosphate companies. They pump all the water. Everyone should, be careful with their water consumption while they're pumping enormous amounts of water. It's the same sort of thing. So I just, I just think that the environmental criminals have maintained control for a long time and probably will. They surely are in control right now. And George H.W. Bush, I think one of his children is the godfather, is a Saudi Arabian prince. It's been going on for a long time, Aramco and all that.
House of Saud is an excellent book to show the connection between the family of George H.W. Bush and his sons and the royal family of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you exactly how ingrained in things they've made it. I mean, it's ingrained in our culture because we had to use something for power, but now it's ingrained, you know, it's a kind of a cultural thing. You're supposed to accept it, but we have to get rid of it. It's going to be a problem. But everything we can possibly do, the solar thing is great. It's great.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You know, you mentioned the permafrost, and I didn't. I wanted to engage Dave from Sarasota, and I did a little bit. I didn't want to, like, you know, beat up on his ideas or anything. But you mentioned the permafrost because, and for people who don't know, a lot of the tundra is frozen methane, and so when that thaws, when it gets warmer and that thaws, it's releasing methane, gaseous methane, into the atmosphere, and this is happening. You'll see these big burps in these lakes, frozen lakes.
Correct.
And methane is tens and tens of times more potent of greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. So essentially, it could get spiral out of control. So to where the number of solar panels we put up doesn't really matter, or the amount of cars we take off the road doesn't really matter, because the spiral will be just too much, too fast. And so that kind of gets me to when our friend from Sarasota, he was asking about, well, you know, there's going to be a technology in a few years that'll come out, and so delay, wait for that. What are your thoughts about, you know, waiting for the next big technology rather than doing something now? How's that for a loaded question?
Well, I mean, we should seize control of our government. You know, we have to do something radical about it. It's not a matter of, you know, whether an individual can make a difference or not. It's just, at this point, a question of, is it, you know, have we gone beyond the point where we can recover from it? So, you know, whenever that happens, that's when they'll be blaming the little guy. But I think we should just try to politically get control of things, as much as difficult as that is going to be. Otherwise, there's really not a lot of hope, and you have to believe that they're just keeping a lid on the chaos by lying to us all, or some crazy thought like that. But it's, you know, it's not that crazy, apparently.
All right. Well, Jim, I appreciate your call, and thanks for your patience. So thank you for calling in. I want to give out the number one more time, 813-239-9663. We have an open line now. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. I'm going to get to some of those emails right now. You can text us at 813-433-0885. It's 12:52 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. We're talking about climate change. We're talking about human-caused climate disruption. Congressmember Charlie Crist has a new bill that he's co-sponsoring for a carbon fee and dividend to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know what you think about that. We played an interview earlier with Representative Crist. David writes in, he says, you can be sure fossil fuel companies, utilities, and associated industries will emphasize the word tax to try to kill this plan. To generate public support, the word dividend should be applied as often as possible to shape the concept. It's a carbon dividend paid to the American public, not a new tax. And so David is talking about, you know, the framing of it. And I think the people who wrote the bill had that in mind. They didn't use the word taxes, from what I could tell. They used the word fee, and the word dividend is in there as well. So it's there is an additional new fee, and that fee is returned to the American people as a dividend. So everyone will get it back. So thanks for that email out there, David. Wow, tons of emails. Lori writes, when will politicians and the media have the courage to address the impact of animal agriculture? From what I understand, this is equal to or greater contributor to environmental destruction and climate change, let alone the ethical issues of the horror, suffering, and murder of billions of sentient beings yearly, and the detrimental health impacts from eating animals. The lettuce contamination of E. coli was caused by runoff of factory farming. When will we stop selfishly ignoring our individual choices of what we eat? Writes Lori, making the combination between the connection, rather, between climate change and animal agriculture. 813-239-9663. We have Eric on the line, but I'm going to go to read one more email before we go to Eric. Adam writes, just wanted to clarify that we are not dependent on Saudi Arabia for oil. We only get about 11% of our oil from them. We get 40% from Canada. In total energy consumption, the U.S. was between 86 and 91% self-sufficient in 2016. In May 2011, the country became a net exporter of refined petroleum products. Saudi Arabia is only important to Trump because of the money they give him. We don't need them. Yeah, that's true, Adam. And a lot of that U.S. independence of fossil fuels came from the fracking boom that happened earlier in this decade. And we've seen the environmental ramifications of that ranging from, well, from everything up to earthquakes in Oklahoma, a place that rarely had earthquakes before and now has a lot of earthquakes. All right, let's hear from Eric in Tampa. Hi, Eric. What would you like to say?
Yes, I'm just curious. I know America is always made to be out to be the villain of climate control or ignoring it. But I never hear much addressing I never see much press on India and China, who put out tremendous amounts of greenhouse gas, nor Russia. And I think part of the issue as well is it may not be solvable. I mean, the Earth has never had 7.5 billion people and on its way to having 9 billion. That in itself, whether you crank up another car or not, is going to result in climate change. And also, you've got Brazil deforesting the rainforests in vast amounts for farming. So, I don't know that climate change is solvable. And B, nobody seems to address China and India, the upcoming industrial powers of the world.
China emits more carbon dioxide now than any other country in the world. And you'll hear that pretty much any time you hear a discussion about climate change. We haven't said that yet today. I alluded to it earlier, though, when I said that the U.S. was the number one per capita emitter. China has 3 times the population, roughly, as the U.S. India also has a very huge population per capita, minuscule compared to the U.S., but if you're talking about 1 billion people, that's a lot of carbon emissions. And, you know, to your question, what if it's not solvable? I mean, it's possible. It's not, but the people who have done the projections are recommending that we take certain steps in order to, you know, alleviate it the best we can. So I haven't looked at those numbers and said that they're wrong. So they might be right and that there might be things that we can do. And deforestation in Brazil is certainly huge. And with the new president there, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. So you bring up some very good points. I think that people want to be able to do things rather than feel helpless. So regardless of whether you ultimately turn out to be right and that we're all screwed, let's put it that way. Regardless of that, I think people are interested in looking for ways to make things better.
Great. Thank you so kindly.
Eric, thanks for that comment. That's really something I appreciate that comment a lot. Let's hear from Joe in Manatee. Hi, Joe. What would you like to say?
Hey. I just want to say that, unfortunately, we are dependent on Saudi Arabia because they prop up our petrodollar. Without them being one of the largest exporters to most of the world, them having to use the U.S. dollar, our economy would collapse. But as far as the carbon tax goes, I don't feel good about it, but I think it's necessary because the problem we're facing and the fact that the government doesn't want to actually pass the law that will actually change anything. All they want to do is do the tax to...
Joe, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know. It's something about your phone connection. I'll give it one more go. You are concerned about the carbon tax. Why?
Sorry, I'm out east. I may be getting bad reception out here. I don't feel good about it because it is a tax. It's just another system to funnel money to the government. But the problem we're having is people's lifestyles are an issue.
And all right, that's a fair point, and you're breaking up enough that I'm gonna move on. I apologize for that. Lifestyles are an issue. I think that's something that people would agree on, that we use too much energy. We use too much things that are we burn too much carbon, and it's polluting the atmosphere. And the carbon levels right now are at levels that we haven't seen since, I don't know the exact era, but I think before humans were on the Earth. So whether we're creating an environment that's habitable for humans and civilizations, that's a question that is going to be, you know, something that we're going to find out in the next few decades or maybe few centuries if we're lucky. I don't think I have any more time to take any calls. I apologize if you're on the air right now. Betty, I'm sorry. I'll take your call. Betty Joe, I'll take your call next week. I apologize for that. Let me read a couple of emails as we finish up the show. Dave writes, solar panels are made in the United States, either Oregon or Seattle, so I forget that they're available. And Owen trumpeted, it's a tariff thing, so there's just no downside. Not at all. If you had to call her and said that there was whatever Oh, gosh. I think this was a voice to text. But it's this person, Dave, is describing how I think how they had a really good experience with solar and how quickly it's going to get paid back. Sorry, I don't have time to read the whole thing, Dave. Ryan writes, based on my envelope math, admittedly not my strongest suit, the rebate would work out to about $250 a year on average. So that's what Ryan writes about how much the rebate would be for the if Charlie Crist's carbon dividend and rebate or carbon fee and dividend legislation would pass. Let me read one more. Solar cells. This is from Roberts. He says, the caller who stated that solar power cells are contained in glass housings is incorrect. Most panels are housed in a clear polycarbonate, the same material that we use in jet airplane windshields and space helmet facing. It's virtually indestructible. That's from Bob in Lakeland, who knows some things about construction and various things. So, I'm not going to give out the number again. I want to thank everyone who called. We had a very lively discussion, I think. And if you're still on hold, please leave me a voicemail if you'd like to tell me your thoughts. 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your next message next show. Thanks to our engineer Alvaro Montealegre and our phone answerer Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Tomorrow, your hero Mark Bureau will join us on Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for John Gilmore, an executive session coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thank you for listening.